Welcome to the podcast. Today we have actually start the show with some sad news as Dianne Feinstein has passed away. And we go into
shocking.
It wasn't shocking.
The prime of her life.
But
just after a very important vote, too. It was.
Wasn't before one, right? It's always got to be after one.
Yeah, just after. And we kind of talk about that a little bit in today's podcast.
We get into the ramifications also politically. What could happen next? Is this something where, you know, Gavin Newsom makes a run at something else? There's a lot going on there. We'll talk about it. We also talk to Miss Kay from Duck
Mary Dunn. Kay?
No, not Mary Kay. The one from, like, you know, the Blaze TV show.
Dynasty. Men's makeup. It's big.
That's Mary Kay, but that's a different person.
Dynasty.
Yeah.
They're the ones that made the new movie.
They did make a brand new movie.
In fact, I've seen it.
Yep.
It's really good.
You really liked it.
I did.
Yeah, I will say, like, we've seen how many of these movies come down the pipe before, and you're like, oh, it's an attempt at a Christian message in the movie, and hey, thanks for doing that. This one, on the other hand, actually looks really good.
It does. It is good.
Yeah.
It is good. I've seen it. It's really good. And you're right. I'm not that awkward, I don't think, but I usually, when I have somebody on whose movie sucks, I will say, that is great. And, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but it's great. Just keep it up.
You do you.
Yeah.
We also have an unfortunate Taylor Swift mental breakdown by me on the program.
And because he will not admit that this football player, whoever he is going to be famous because he's dating Taylor Swift.
This is agonizing.
And they're going to, I'm telling you, prices at the stadium this weekend, because I don't know if you heard this, dude, but she's going to be...
I did hear it, yes.
Yeah, maybe at the football game. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, they'll cover that on TV and spend a lot of time on that. But anyway, they're going to... I can guarantee you the stadium will be sold out, if not almost sold out, at least $300 a ticket for the seats.
That's
because of her.
Your breakdowns of this are very interesting. And if you thought it might be awkward to hear Glenn talk about Taylor Swift and football... At the same time, wait till you hear him talk to a rapper. That also happens on today's program.
Yeah, it's an odd combination on today's podcast. Here it comes. Oh, by the way, don't forget, tomorrow, Liz Wheeler. She's fantastic. Don't miss podcast tomorrow. And Stu, you know, keep up the work.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that.
Let me tell you about Jace Medical. Jace Medical is our sponsor this half hour. As we build a parallel economy, we welcome businesses like Jace. They're doing good in the world while providing goods and services at a great price that everybody needs. Here's the thing. If you have prescriptions that you take every day, if there is some sort of, you know, COVID-2, and there's a supply breakdown, a war, and it's a supply breakdown, where are you going to get your diabetes medicine? Where are you going to get your heart medicine, your low blood pressure medicine, or insulin? Where are you going to get that? Jace Medical has you covered. Go online, fill out a form, and then you get the prescription, the life-saving medications delivered right to your door. You can have up to a year's worth delivered to you, so you have it. Save more than $360 right now on some of the life-saving antibiotics with Jace Medical, plus an additional discount by using my code BECK at checkout. It's Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com, jacemedical.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right, so here's what we have to do this weekend, beginning tonight at midnight. If we don't sign the CR and continuing resolution, which will just give a buttload of money, just keep spending exactly like you were spending last year and no real accountability for any of it, and we got to add some more for a war. If we don't sign that by tonight, we got to shut the government down. Ooh, Pat Gray is joining us. What will you do as of 12:01 tonight?
Well, Stu gave me a suggestion because I was confused when I came in. What am I going to do?
I know.
And what was your suggestion that I should do? The government, now this is in the eventuality of a government shutdown.
Okay, right. are you well read enough to give a recommendation?
I mean, I would be concerned if I was going to be held to some legal standard.
Right,
on
okay.
It,
so you're not, because you're not an expert.
I'm not an expert.
You're not an expert.
But I was thinking you could continue living your life exactly the same way.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, but what would you
do? What about the catastrophe?
Right.
What about that?
Yeah, you would, in this particular scenario, and again, it's a fictional scenario on some level. It's hypothetical.
Okay, you're not a doctor. I think this is dangerous.
What were the things you were going to do? Do those things.
Okay.
And the things you weren't going to do, don't do those.
Okay, all right. Okay, hang on just a second.
It's crazy talk.
Here's what's going to happen. This is what's really going to happen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is from the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, and they have now released the contingency plans.
Oh, God. Thank you.
So here's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, please don't panic, but economic indicators like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the jobs report, could be delayed this month.
Don't say that.
Yes.
No.
The Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, which is charged with promoting labor management cooperation.
They'll still have that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oof,
however,
good.
They would have to cut back in its work. They won't close, but they'll have to cut back in some of the things they do. And this all amid the strike with the United Auto Workers.
Yeah.
What are the unions and the plants going to do without federal officials? They'll be able to do anything.
No, they won't.
And the thing is, we're so used to high efficiency from the government.
Yeah.
And when we lose that, society could
crumble. It all goes sideways.
I'm going to throw everybody a bone here so you don't panic.
Okay.
The Federal Reserve activity will be unaffected.
Oh,
so
okay.
They could still raise the interest rates on November 1st.
Oh, good.
No matter what happens.
Great.
Okay.
Good.
The Federal Trade Commission, however, would stop the vast bulk of its competition and consumer protection investigations.
You can't be serious.
I am serious. They would have to. The vast bulk of them would just stop.
So some of them would continue.
Yes. Yes.
But the vast bulk
of them would stop.
What percentage does that translate
don't
to?
Don't know. Vast bulk.
It's got to be over 50.
This is from the OMB.
Okay.
The Security and Exchange Commission will not review or approve registrations from investment advisors, broker-dealers, transfer agents, rating organizations, investment companies, and municipal advisors. They're not going to be able to, if you try to register
at the SEC,
you won't be able to do it.
And what's that? Wow. Like for a new fund or something, a new rating agency, what's that, a two-week process probably?
I mean, that
what about the FDIC? Do you have information on the FDIC?
No, they still do not have all of because they're scrambling for this information now.
They didn't see this coming,
now,
even though everyone saw it coming.
Again, to give you some good news, the IRS has not released their plans for this potential shutdown. However, previous plans have said that the IRS would use funds from Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act to keep employees paid and working.
Thank heaven.
And a union representing the IRS workers has said new plans are being discussed that would involve some furloughs. However, businesses and individuals who requested that six-month extension for your tax return in April, you will still be required to file by April 16th.
Well, of course you will.
By what date? Because
October 16th.
I was going to say, I thought I had more time.
Yeah. emergency relief is going to be a problem. A shutdown would create an increased risk that FEMA, their relief funds, could be depleted. So there's a risk that their funds could be depleted if large additional catastrophic disasters occur. during the shutdown.
Now, of course, they would very easily pass funding for that almost immediately. But still, but we should deny that that would happen. Right?
Energy.
And we'll deny that any of these people are going to get their money afterward. We all know they're going to retroactively pass something to pay all of this stuff anyway. It will just basically be an unpaid vacation for many people.
For the most part, they've already done that.
So this is for those of you concerned about, hey, what about my energy? What about the environment? This is what this draconian shutdown is going to do.
Thank you, Republicans.
The Interior Department, which does all of the designing for the Capitol building and the interiors and pick out the drapes, is... apparently it doesn't do that. The Department of Interior will retain limited discretion to use permits for energy projects on federal lands and waters when user fees are attached. So... They'll retain just limited discretion to issue those permits, you know, for drilling and things like that.
They don't have full discretion?
No, not during
a shutdown.
No.
Oh, no.
A funding lapse would paralyze other work to develop required environmental analysis for all energy projects, highways, and other in infrastructure. The EPA... may be able to continue some IRA-funded activities as well as other attempted work such as settlement-funded cleanup at some Superfund sites.
Let's hope that's the case.
Now, the White House is warning most EPA-led inspections at hazardous waste sites as well as drinking water and chemical facilities is going to stop.
Oh, wow.
So your drinking water could go completely. It'll stop.
It'll turn to mud
this weekend. By Sunday, maybe Monday. The Energy Information Administration, which publishes snapshots of the U.S. oil inventory, it will continue to collect and publish data on schedule. But they say at least initially, our nuke sites are going to be, you know, maintained. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, however, will stop all licensing of, you know, new nuclear facilities.
Oh, there's so many of those going up, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we did the last one in 1978, and then
This is going to stop.
Well, okay, there's no new ones, but...
But it's going to stop.
It's going to stop now.
Not even the thought of...
This was the week. This was the week it was going to happen.
Thanks to you MAGA Republicans.
Right. Now, transportation and travel.
Unbelievable.
Travelers could face delays as air traffic controllers and Transportation Security Administration officers
that all continues,
will be working without pay.
But without pay.
Yeah, so people will not show
up for work. I mean, they're really not, because they will be paid.
Yeah.
Just maybe not on time.
Right, which is a hassle
for
them.
It is a hassle for them. I won't deny that.
However, Amtrak... they're going to keep transporting those 12 passengers. It's just going to keep going.
Is Ange going to continue to tell stories about how many miles Joe Biden has traveled on the train?
I don't know.
Will he be there?
I don't know.
Even in death, as he was when he told the story to Joe Biden?
Now, passports and visas will still be issued.
Oh, phew. Okay. I thought those were going to be delayed, but they're not going to.
Efforts to defend the nation and conduct ongoing military operations will continue.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Well, that's good. That's
okay. Burials and tours at Arlington National Cemetery will continue.
Did anyone doubt they were going to stop burying the bodies?
Yeah.
They're just going to pile up until we open up the government again.
COVID-19 response research, including vaccine and therapeutic development by the U.S. government, will continue. The National Institute of Health might have to postpone clinical trials for diseases like cancer or Alzheimer's, according to the White House. So this may throw him from solving cancer. We were so close to him coming through with his promise of curing cancer, but it's the damn Republicans.
We can actually check that. At any point, if you just go to hasjoebidencuredcancer.com.
Can you check it real quick?
Yeah, let me check real quick.
Because we're very close.
Has Joe Biden cured cancer? No.
No,
cancer still exists as of today.
Food stamps for low-income people, the disabled, and others could be delayed. There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for that.
Nope.
That is just to trot out the downtrodden, the people, and just say, look at what's happening. If the IRS can stay open,
oh my God,
food stamps can stay open.
Yep.
Social Security checks will be delivered. Applications for benefits processed. However, people will not be able to verify benefits or replace Medicare cards. Most national parks will be closed.
No.
The Smithsonian the National Gallery of Art may close.
Don't say that.
Cemeteries, monuments, visitor centers worldwide housed under the American Battle Monuments Commission will close.
So are they going to, and you said the national parks are going to close. That means that these, many of these open field areas will not be open.
Yeah, they're gonna build some fences around those things.
Are they?
Yeah.
Because I don't think we don't seem capable of building fences. I've noticed this in other areas.
They're closed. And but you know, closed. I tell you, you know that they are big on the blue. They're just gonna be they'll be telling the blue, you make sure you're out there and you enforce that law. Don't you got somebody coming into the national park? Huh, we don't have bathrooms that are open. No.
Wow.
What are they gonna do? Poop in the woods? What kind of animals do you think we are?
It's a great point. By the way,
we're animals. Part of this that is poop.
Sometimes in the woods, at least for many, many, many centuries.
Yes.
Yeah. The Capitol Police will not get paid under this.
So they will. They're under assault again.
Yes.
As they were during the insurrection,
by the same people.
Extreme MAGA Republicans. You're exactly right on that. By the same people.
Now they'll get all their money later. Of course, but
okay.
But for now, they won't get paid, except for them. Unlike thousands and thousands and thousands of other federal workers, they actually will still have to do their job. Most of the federal workers that are going to get laid off are going to get all their money and then not have to do their job for several weeks or however long this takes, which is a terrible.
Closes down. I'm in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we should take a vote. Who wants to open it back up? And I mean, I think 15 days to slow the curve of spending. 15 days. Let's just do that.
Okay.
Let's meet again in 15 days and see if we can open the government up.
We'll probably need another 30 days at least at that point.
Well, we might. But let's just 15 days to slow the curve
and
of
then
spending.
After that, 30 days are up. After the 15 and then the 30, we might need another 18.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if the government will survive that.
It may not survive
that. Of course, American people did it for a year.
Yeah. And no one cared about them surviving.
No, nobody really cared about them surviving.
So that's good.
So
can I also say, too, like, we talk about these big government cuts that we want to do. We think there's things that we should do to make the government smaller, more like it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A limited government.
Yeah. We're not talking about any of those, I want you to know.
Maybe we are. You know, haven't they unintentionally identified all of the cuts here? Haven't they just said, hey, whatever we're just going to stop doing, the unnecessary parts of the government that can just shut down?
You mean those non-essentials?
Yeah, the non-essential stuff we just stop doing, and the essential stuff we'll keep going, and we'll go from there. We'll talk about, hey, maybe we need to add this back in. Maybe we need to get rid of this other thing.
Well,
but, like, isn't that a good starting point?
Well,
whatever you tell me is non-essential, I promise you we should not be doing. I promise you we should not be doing it.
I'm not sure of that. I mean, you know, we're talking about
really,
yeah, we're talking about things like the Interior Department just having limited discretion to issue permits.
So they're still going to be issuing permits, but they're going to have limited discretion.
Well,
we shouldn't be doing so much permitting. Maybe people should just be able to do a lot of the things that they want to do. But if there are certain needs for certain permits, then the limited permitting might just cover that.
Yeah, well, you go ahead. Well, we're all drinking poison by next Wednesday from our drinking, just from our taps in our home. Well, sludge, nuclear waste, syringes pouring out into our kitchen sink. Okay.
So syringes might pour out of our taps?
Yes.
How do they get around the curves? Like, if you have a curvy sort of faucet.
Are you an expert? Are you an expert?
I mean, obviously not.
No. Are you a doctor?
I am not a doctor.
I am. Let's move on. Very dangerous. Keep going, Republicans. Keep going. Do not buckle.
This is the Best of the Glenn Beck Program, and we really want to thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. It is Friday. We want to give you a piece of information that will help you navigate finances and your investments to some degree to make sure you're putting your money where it's doing its best to save the country. Paul Fitzpatrick has been on the program several times before. He is the president of the 1792 Exchange, and they've added something new. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. So tell me what you guys have added. First of all, for anybody who doesn't know what the 1792 Exchange is, explain that.
Well, Glenn, we are a nonprofit engaging with corporations to try to help them move back towards neutral to protect freedom. That's freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and free enterprise.
And what have you just added?
Well, on our website, we have come up with a database. We call it our proxy voting database. It's actually three databases in one. And your listeners have gone to our other database before. This is, first, it discloses how state pension funds, their assets are being voted by their asset managers. Two, it describes and shows over 100 asset managers of how they are voting the shares of the states. And then third, it's a directory of the 2022-2023 kind of most egregious ESG shareholder resolutions.
And give me some of those. Give me the worst ones, worst states and worst.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's an example. Last year, the Employee Retirement System of Texas voted for a shareholder proposal at the Bank of America to adopt, quote, a fossil fuel lending policy consistent with the IEA's net zero 2050 scenario.
Texas did.
If passed, it would have restricted lending, Bank of America's lending, to the oil and gas industry. So those are some of the crazy ones. Other examples. Some of them are forcing companies to incorporate climate goals into the retirement plans, for example, at Amazon and Comcast, or forcing companies to evaluate the risk of pro-life legislation on their employees. That was at Walmart. Over 30 resolutions would have forced companies to do racial equity audits. This is a good one. Even Citigroup faced a resolution that would force them to ensure the rights of indigenous people who work for the company. And some of them are just really out there crazy, but some of them are insidious from the perspective of they really harm the businesses, which means it harms the shareholders.
So your service, when you go there, you can click on to find out your corporate bias rating. So you want to do business with somebody. You can just look them up and you'll see, for instance, Adobe, a high risk. You'll see, let's see, something that Aflac, medium risk. I'm just in the A's here. 3M, medium. 3D Systems, lower risk. What it means is these companies are, if they're a medium risk, they do some things that are not, you know, so great for freedom. And if they're lower risk, you're not saying that they're safe. What are you saying with that?
Well, you're right, Glenn. And that's the first database, the corporate bias ratings. That's
right.
The first one we have. And you're right. That one is in essence showing that how politicized corporations are. We say lower risk because we can't guarantee, but these are companies that are using their dollars and their brands to push ideological agendas, but they're also canceling employees, they're canceling debanking people, deplatforming. So we want folks to know who they're working with.
And so when you go to the state pension funds, you see the proxy ranking. There's two states that stand out. One is Alabama. Its anti-ESG average is 12.5. Wyoming is 22.2. Everybody else is single digits. Everybody else.
Yes, it is amazing. I will say there are fewer anti-ESG resolutions. So for your folks to know, in our database, we've got roughly 550 ESG resolutions, pro-ESG, anti-ESG. Most of them are pro-ESG, and that's from 2022 and 2023. So there aren't as many, there are very few of the anti-ESG, but you're right. We should be seeing those red states voting highly and aggressively for the anti-ESG. But you're right. Alabama stands out as a state. In part, think of how red Alabama is. And yet they are the fourth, because there's a tie at the top, fourth worst state. They vote 49.5%. This isn't 2022 data. We're going to update our database in the coming months to have 23 data. But in last year, half the time, Alabama's dollars were voted for ESG resolutions.
That
and
is it,
when I say the dollars, again, the pension funds. It is crazy. So we've got, you would think, let me give you some other states.
Look at Florida. You would think, Florida it, with DeSantis, 43%.
And again, this is the 22 data. So in Florida did pass a law to improve things. So when the 23 data comes out, we believe Florida and several other states are going to hold up better. And that's important for your folks to know. State legislatures have started to wake up, and but we need to put pressure on them. For example, Kentucky, Arkansas, Kansas, Montana, Florida, all passed laws to make things better. They passed laws this year. So next year, we're going to see a lot better. But you're right, even just by putting the pressure on pension boards, you're going to see when the data comes out for 23, they're going to be better. But yeah, listen to these states that are worse than California, Oregon, and Washington. Tennessee, Alabama, Kentucky, Idaho, Montana, Mississippi, Ohio. I mean, this shows what I say. It's a dereliction of duty of state legislatures that are allowing the pension funds and the pension boards and the pension staff to hand off dollars to asset managers who are then weaponizing and politicizing those assets that in ways that undermine the economies and the values of those red states.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. The best one in the entire country, and it's I don't even think it's even close, is it? Is South Dakota.
Yes, and part of the reason South Dakota is the best is they and Georgia are the only two states that in essence took everything in-house. But South Dakota really has taken control, and that's one of the reasons. But the other thing is, interestingly, number two state is Delaware. Delaware is a liberal state. But they actually apparently understand their fiduciary duty better than many red states. And Georgia, I will say, is also doing very well as well. They took it in-house. You're going to see a lot more states. But what we need, Glenn, for your folks to do is, you know, go to 1792exchange.com, go to our site, find out how your state is doing. Call your state legislators. Tell them to act. If they pass the law, improve it. If they didn't, get on them. You also need, remember what happens on these boards. Historically, it's, you know, maybe the governor's buddy is appointed to the board. And many of the folks appointing, whether it be governors or AGs or state, the Speaker of the House appointing their buddies and their campaign donors to these boards, they're not vetting them ideologically. And so that's a huge issue. And ultimately, we need to have the pensioners speak up, the people who are retirement. Their retirement security depends on these assets. We need them to speak up and tell the boards to make decisions only for financial reasons.
So,
and finally,
go ahead.
Sir.
No.
Well, I was going to say, finally, taxpayers, because ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, just came out with a report saying state pension funds are underfunded. They face unfunded liabilities of almost $7 trillion.
Jeez.
The taxpayers are going to have to bail them out.
So let me go back to ESG, because they're now saying, oh, everybody's getting away from ESG. But all they've done is renamed it. They're still doing exactly the same thing. Is that what you find?
Oh, absolutely, Glenn. It's a bit of a President Reagan's trust but verify motto.
Yeah.
For example, because lots of folks, AGs, treasurers, legislatures are pushing back on BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard, that many have changed their behavior. I will say Vanguard's gotten a lot better. But when I say behavior, there's two different ways to look at it. Yes, they're voting far less often for ESG shareholder resolutions. For example, in 2021, BlackRock voted 47% of the time for ESG resolutions. Well, I should say E and S. They don't report the G. This year, they went down 40%. They only voted 7% of the time for ENS resolutions. You say that's a really good thing, right? Yes, it is. We're glad to see it. The other side of the coin, though, is BlackRock is still part of alliances, these net zero alliances that are forcing us to, in essence, decarbonize, which will put us back in the Stone Age and starve people. And they're also still, they brag about that what they call engagements, which means Larry Fink and his team sit down with CEOs and say, we own 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% of your company. You're going to push this ESG stuff. We're not going to vote for it, but you're going to do it. And these CEOs facing these assets and these pension funds are part of the assets used. It's very hard for a CEO to say no.
All right. Why don't you go to 1792 exchange, and you look up your pension fund for your state. You're exactly right. When it comes to who's going to bail these people out, it's going to be you. It's going to be on our backs. They are not making the kind of return that they need to make on your investments for states. So look your state up and make sure. I would call your treasurer as well, but your legislatures and your treasurers, and push them. I mean, you know, you look at some very conservative states that are supposed to be against this stuff. Hello, Texas. You're not doing so great. You're not doing so great. Why is that?
No, you're absolutely right. And I would say, final point, Glenn, I'm sorry to interrupt, is you know, lots of folks listening here have their own IRA, or maybe they're in a company's 401k plan. Got to look at our, go to view the votes, and again, look at your asset managers. Find out who is the asset manager managing your 401k or your IRA. See how they're voting and call them and say, don't vote my shares that way. And then ask if you can, and if you can, move your funds to an asset manager who's more neutral and only focused on financial returns.
1792exchange.com, 1792exchange.com. They're doing really good and helpful work. Paul, thank you as always.
Thank you, Glenn.
You bet.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Godzilla. And I get down on my knees and thank God for giving me the day. Promise it won't be a waste, no. Ain't God sick of being fake. God is giving me a way. Consequence of being grateful. Now, sure, I'm one with my boys, you know. I mean, people come to me and ask me all the time, Glenn, tell me about rap. And, the conversations we can have. But I am not somebody who is, I know this is going to come as a shock. I've never liked rap. Somebody walked into my office a week ago, a good friend of mine. He said, you have to hear this song. And he said, now he knows me. Now it is rap. And I said, get the hell out of my office. And he said, no, just listen. He put this on. And I said something, and it's not just the lyrics. I said something I thought I would never say, and I like this song. What happened to me? I don't know what happened to me. The guy happened to be in the hallway, and he said, yeah, it's this guy over here, Flawedzilla. And I'm like, oh, Flawed and I are like one. So he came into my office, and I invited him on the show. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thank you for having me, man.
It's great to have you here. What a great song.
Thank you.
What a great song.
Thank you.
You, not too long ago, were not singing about this kind of stuff.
Exact opposite.
Yeah, you were like way, way left.
Yeah, I was super left, yeah. I was
like godless?
Yes, yeah, for the most part. Like, I knew, but like it was like turned against. I was completely against, even though I could, there was like calls and whispers that I felt like I was not doing what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And eventually it ended up pulling me towards, but for a long time I was fighting it and depressed and like.
You were addicted to fentanyl.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you, I remember I got fentanyl, you know, before fentanyl was cool. I got fentanyl in the hospital after an operation. I had it for 4 days. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I went into withdrawals from that after 4 days.
Super strong.
Oh my gosh. It's
like 100 times morphine.
Yeah.
Or it's like
Just awful.
Like the street version is even more. It's not regulated like what you would get from.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like super potent or just. It's dangerous.
So how did you survive that, and how did you get off it?
So I barely survived. I'm not gonna lie. I was for years I was doing Percocets. Before that, we were doing Perc 30s, and it was like there was a lot of opioids just going around where I'm from in New Hampshire, and so we got to that point, and then every once in a while in the street there would be no way to get them because it comes from a doctor. So then you have to turn to things like fentanyl. Huh?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so then you got to turn to things like fentanyl. And it was like, from that day, my life just was horrible. Terrible life. And eventually, after 4 years of that, being homeless and having no, like, having to find money and do all these schemes and lie to people to get all this money, I end up overdosing. And, that day, I made the decision I could either continued on this path, which would be rough.
Death.
No matter what, I'm going to end up dying is what's going to happen. Or I can go through like the phoenix from the ashes, you know? And that's when God, I really, really just gave my life to God and I knew I didn't have control over things. And all I could do was just try and just have faith.
And so you were I'm trying to understand, because you came into my office and you were like, oh man, I can't believe I'm standing here with you. And I'm like, you know who I am?
Yeah.
I mean, again, I know I'm big in the rap.
Yeah, that's how I heard you. Yeah. You're big. Yeah, everyone knows you.
Yeah, everybody knows me. But how did you go from that and a leftist to here? By the way, this may be the death of your career.
Yeah. I hope not. But yeah. I think it's going to be the opposite. Everyone I've spoken to is like, they're psyched. They're going crazy that I'm on here right now. But so my mother was super not political, but just automatically default liberal leftist, like because that's what it is in black households.
Yeah.
So my whole life growing up, I kind of was like virtue signaling like a lot of people and like swore I cared about all these different things that actually weren't really affecting me. I'm from New Hampshire. It's like 95% white. There's like no real struggle. Cops aren't doing anything to me. It's like I was like going through poverty, but it wasn't like I had to watch my back outside of nothing. So my whole life, entitlement, all that just made me believe that I was just like going through all these terrible things that I wasn't going through. And so I got on drugs and all this, and I met my girlfriend, and her family is on the right side. So that was the first time I ever saw you was I went into their house and you're on TV. And I was like, this guy is like, cause you're so like animated and performing. I'm like, this dude is like, it was like entertaining just to see. And it was total opposite of anything I believed, but I didn't really believe the things that I thought I believed.
Right. You know?
So just listening, just actually having the conversations, things like that. If it wasn't for my girlfriend and her family, I would have never came out of it because they were like, when Trump got in office and all this, I was like legitimately scared. I was like, yo, the world's about to end. Everything's about to be terrible.
Right.
And then my life just like, it got worse. But then once I started really seeing what it was, it just got better and better and better. And then I was like, first time I ever voted, I was like, I got to vote for Trump because.
Amazing.
I've never felt anything like this where I feel like I'm like, I have hope for the future.
So what is your, tell me about your process with your lyrics and what are you trying to do now?
So I'm not even a rapper. I'm a rapper. I rap first, but then I like retired because when I got on drugs, I didn't care about music anymore. So for years I stopped doing music and then I started doing YouTube videos where I just talked about music because that's all I know. And I would just critique music and be like, this is where I think they were coming from when they wrote this and why they said this the way they said this. And it grew really quick. It grew like, I got like 117K subscribers in like 10 months. And I was like, it's crazy to me. Mm-hmm. So I eventually just as I was doing this, I just like was in such a good place in my life. And I'm like, I should just try to start recording again. And I recorded a couple other songs and Grateful happened because I reacted to an Eminem song and I was talking because it was called Rap God. And he was talking about all these God references. And I was like, he's just referencing a bunch of pagan gods, basically is what I said. And someone's like, you think your God's not the pagan God? And I'm like, by definition, he's not, but he's actually not by definition.
Right.
And that comment made me like, it was just stuck in my head And I usually make music on Mondays, and I just played a beat, and that was the first beat I played. And I was like, I came up with the first bar. I don't write, so I was sitting in front of the mic, like, trying to just come up with a rhyme. And I was like, and I get down on my knees and thank God for giving me the day. Promise it won't be a waste. No. And then, like, from there, I was like, people don't want to hear me rap about God, right? So I can make the reference, and I can, like, kind of go into my life, and I just got writer's block immediately. And I was like, but I could think of another bar about God. And I was like, I'm just going to lean into it fully. And it was the quickest song I ever made, best song I ever made. I truly believe that.
It's amazing how when the spirit moves you, and then you start to go, well, wait, I can calculate how it just falls apart on you.
Yeah. If you think you know better than God, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I think it was a thing that was meant to happen, because I also didn't promote this song. Like, the people that I know, Garrett from Normal World, he really liked that song and shared it amongst a bunch of people. And then from there, people just like started sharing it and it went crazy. And I had never even promoted the song.
It's fantastic. I was listening to it again on Spotify this morning.
Thank you.
I just think it is really great.
That's like big words. So if you don't like rap, then that's crazy.
It's you're still musical. I don't know. And I don't like the lyrics of most rap songs.
Me either.
I'm sorry. I am definitely killing your career.
Only listen to this song.
I like it. You young kids nowadays. Oh my gosh. Can you just tell me the Flodzilla thing? What is that?
So it goes back to my name was Marcus Black before that, because my name is Marcus and I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, good.
I eventually,
good. That's clever.
Right? Isn't it? It was creative.
Yeah.
So I eventually was like, I need to change my name for content, because people are only going to know me for music, even though no one knew me. So just looking at my life and everything I had been through, I was like, I'm ready to basically accept exactly what I said, accept all the things I'm ashamed of in that song, and like wear it as, I can't change it. So it's basically, it's me. So I have to either use my future, where I end up in the future, as like a proof that you can come from a flawed beginning to, like, ultimately, because you don't know anyone. Like, if someone gets really famous and you're like, oh, I love this person, you have no idea what their life is.
Yeah.
But you could idolize this person and be like, they could be the worst person in the world. But I think that you can turn things around and actually influence people, because everybody has things that are flaws that they can't change, that they're ashamed of, that they're insecure about.
And I have to tell you, the whole thing about redemption is the most incredible thing is the thing that you are most ashamed of, that you have fought to hide for so long because it's just so bad, you think.
Yep.
Becomes like a weapon for good.
Yeah.
It's all of a sudden you're like, wait, this is doing what?
Yeah. It separates you from like the Sims, like the bots, where people are all trying to be the same thing because it's what works and what everyone likes.
Right.
The thing that really is going to set you apart is the thing that you don't want to show people.
I know. It's crazy.
Every time. Yeah.
It's really crazy. Well, it is good to have you on the program.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Flawed TV is what you do. What is the YouTube channel? Go ahead.
YouTube.com/FlawedTV and Rumble.com/FlawedTV and Twitter.
Why, FlawedTV. Why were you even here?
How did I end up on here?
Yeah. How'd you end up in this building?
So Garrett, again, Code of Black Garrett, he is a part of like another show that I'm on with Adam Krigler called Bay Staff Monday. And through that, me and Garrett linked up because we both live in Texas. So he wanted me, just randomly, he was like, after I made Grateful, he was like, come on a road trip to Vegas. Had never really even spent any time with him. We drove for 19 hours in a car to Vegas and like had conversations and bonded. And he was like, you want to be the first person on Normal World, the first guest on Normal World and perform? And I was like, I've never done anything like that. Absolutely. And from there, like, that's how I ended up here.
And it was that last?
No, that was
for the opening.
Yeah, that was for the first episode. Okay. But now he's just had me back over and over. Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you.
Yeah.
Great
to have you here, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.